Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello there, you guys.
Hi!
Welcome to part two.
Of Alchemized.
Of Alchemized. Now, for those of you who didn't tune on into part one, you should go do that. Go check that out. Because we're really excited for it.
Yes.
And we did not cover nearly as much as I thought we were going to cover.
That's okay. We're going to power
through. I was so prepared. I even wrote down in my notes when we would start part two. It's not here. I'll tell you when we get to it, though.
You love world building.
I do.
And so I knew that we were going to be talking about a lot of world building. And so it's okay.
So when I was texting you saying two parts should be enough, you're like, this guy's delusional, but okay.
Well, I was just like, I knew that it was going to, the first part was going to be.
You were like, this guy doesn't shut the fuck up. It's going to be impossible.
Hey, no, I live. You, like I said, you remember far more than I do. I'm impressed at this point.
Yes, I remember. I definitely didn't just write it all down. So where we left off in part one,
Aurelia.
Please go back and watch that just for all the content warnings and everything like that. You know what? Just to cover our bases. I'll do the content warnings again for this chapter real quick.
Good idea. Good idea.
So the content notes for Alchemized. Bear with us. Don't laugh this time when I say it.
I won't. I'm going to actually.
Alchemized is a work of dark fantasy containing wartime violence, religious abuse, depictions of complex trauma, suicidal ideation, self-harm, human experimentation, medical torture, eugenics, cannibalism, sexual assault, rape, and allusions to necrophilia. Please remember that depiction is not authorial endorsement. Because Alchemized is told in third-person limited point of view, it necessarily involves some distortions of vision, as well as missed or misconstrued events. Reader discretion is advised. Listener discretion is also advised as we talk about it. Please go back and watch part one if you haven't seen it.
When you get to the cannibalism, that's when it really starts to go off the rails.
When you get to the cannibalism in chapter one, you mean?
Yep. I do mean that, actually. Okay, so let's pick it up.
So, where we left off, Aurelia had just plucked out Helena's eye. Just in case you didn't believe us with the content warnings and just thought you could hop in with this being your first episode.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Eyeball out. She's now stuck up against the wall with iron wrapped around her wrists. Her own resonant was useless against the powers that Cain held. He shows up and fixes Helena's eye. He's like, how do I fix the eye? Helena's thinking the whole time, you can't fix an eye. It requires such meticulous repetition and healing, no matter how good of a vivomancer you are. Like, I'm pretty much the only person who can fix the eye. He's like, show me how it feels, basically in the fingers. And she basically is able to give like the slightest amount for what the feeling's supposed to be like.
Yeah.
And he fixes her eye. It's plops so it back cool. in with a little. And I was like, yeah.
It's like the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean whose eyeball falls
out. Oh, yeah, yeah.
All the time.
But it's just, it's so.
Graphic.
It's so graphic. Senlin Yu's writing style, I don't know what it is about it. I know I said I'd stay on brand, but I'm already going on tangent. It's so tickling of my brain, the way they write, where every detail is so clearly fleshed out in things, like with these graphic types of scenes.
Yeah.
Even like the intensity of the writing with it all and how meticulous it is, the repetition of things of like layer after layer after layer after layer.
It's so detailed.
And I'm so enthralled by it.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. It's funny because like I refuse. My sister's trying to get me to watch The Pit.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't because, I mean, maybe I will eventually. I don't do well with like medical gore. Like I can watch Game of Thrones fine.
Yeah.
But like surgeries, I can't.
I don't like...
I don't like
too
seeing
much
it,
stuff.
But reading yeah. it, I reading love it, like, reading
this
it.
This is so interesting.
It's interesting to me.
Me watching Dr. House as they like pull out someone's intestine, going, "Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I don't
make
look.
Me see that." Me reading someone getting their eyeball
I'm
ripped
like,
out.
Again.
I'm like, "Cool."
Yeah. They ate with that.
We're cooked. We're so fucked up. That's so bad.
I know.
After her eyes fixed, Kane goes, heals Aurelia, and essentially like, "Hey, so eyes are attached to the brain." Kind of need those for brain procedures.
Yeah.
Don't mess with anything.
Dumbass.
And then Helena's thinking, I don't think he would need my eyes, but all right.
Yeah.
And then she finds out that he killed someone in the hospital. Front page news. Killed Lancaster. Walked on up, ripped him apart.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, Stroud comes to check in on her and be like, I heard you had quite an eventful weekend. But good news, you can be pregnant again. And Helena's like, what?
Yeah.
And Stroud is just the worst again.
Yep.
She says that the High Necromancer has decided that, you know, because both Helena and the High Reeve are animancers, they have the best chance at producing an animancer for Morrow to go into.
Yeah. Nasty.
It's somehow, not to go back to Manacled here, they made the point of the pregnancy even worse, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, not in a way that I hate that they did this, but like in a way, it's like, how do you even, like, I'm interested in how they managed to make it even more horrifying.
No, I understand what you mean. For it to be for the High Necromancer to be cut, it's bonkers.
I'm going
to
possess that baby.
Yeah. No, you know, I agree. This book has alchemized Manacled. It's leveled up it's Manacled. Leveled. Guys,
that's,
I'm the smartest
so profound,
person around.
That thing you just fucking said. You're smart.
I can't believe you didn't.
Oh my
say
god,
that.
No, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
It's so crazy though, because the other book series that I've been reading, like at the gym, just in my ears, it's called The Sisters Grimm. I think I talked about
you
already. I'm finally on the last one, and the villain's main goal, spoiler alert, if you are a huge Sisters Grimm fan in the middle of that right now, the villain's main goal is to possess their baby brother that they didn't know they had to get a human body.
Whoa, weird.
So he can escape a magical barrier.
Weird coincidence.
And I was like,
I've seen this film before. That's wacky.
When's the evil queen showing up?
Yeah,
what's going
that's
on?
So weird. Anyway.
Sounds good.
So then,
apart from that, but Stroud is essentially like, yeah, so you're going to do it with Cain. And she's like, I know. And it's like, well, funny you thought you had a choice.
Yeah, you have
and
to.
And I'll be the one to decide who goes next if it doesn't work. Which is such a disgusting way to frame
I know.
It. I'll be the one to decide
if
who
it doesn't
goes
take.
Next.
If it doesn't take. Yeah, it's bad. It's,
oh my God. Don't laugh bad. There. Solomon's laughing at it. He finds this stuff funny. Guys. We got him. We got him. Chat clip that.
Yeah,
no, it's so bad. I'm kidding, guys. He doesn't. She's like talking back. And then, you know, this entire time is, I don't have to let you keep your tongue or something like that. You're like, you don't need that. And it's everything in this whole chapter just shows how awful Stroud is throughout. And it's just, she does not see Helena as a human being. Mm-mm. Despite the sheer hate that Stroud feels towards Helena for Bennett and the lab's destruction and everything. We didn't mention it in the last episode, but there was a guy named Bennett doing experiments.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
And it's just awful.
Mm-hmm. She's truly just an object.
Cain finds out he's got to do that too. And he's like, why don't I get a say in this? I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well. But he asks about how her eyes are doing. And it's laughable because he's going to rape her essentially at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's like a laughable thing. And she just shows like how he's like losing how she's losing her mind in there.
Yeah.
But he does have a follow-up line that's so funny to me where she's like, you killed him in the hospital lobby. And he's like, I was going to kill him in his hospital room, but he ran, so I improvised.
I know. That
so fucking funny.
That made me giggle too.
So funny.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's where I wrote this down, is that like rape for the purpose of pregnancy is somehow worse.
Yeah.
I can't really explain how, but it is.
It's awful. It's so bad.
Does that make sense?
It's so heinous. Mm-hmm. So then they have to do their thing, and he throws up after.
But, you know, the biannual ascendancy of Lunithia is coming on up. So twice a year, there's a full moon of Lumithia, which is a big thing. Because that's when alchemy is at its highest. And
but I was talking
like
about
it goes crazy.
Them.
I just like knowing like what the timetables are
it's
for stuff.
It's so cool. It's so cool.
He seems to almost turn and leave the first time. I said, you know what? I kind of want to skip talking about this stuff.
Don't talk about
okay.
it. Yeah,
yeah,
it's not.
I don't want
to. The things have to happen, and they happen, and it's bummer, and he throws up, and then on to the
yeah,
next.
Yeah, yeah, it's.
Don't talk about it. You can read
I
it.
I promise
it's
a good story, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, that
So
happens.
Then eventually.
So afterwards, you know, the world does a big F you to her because the world is beautiful and everything, and she's like, everything yeah. should be awful right now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean the sun's out?
Yeah.
You know? Stroud comes to check in one more time and be like, so how was it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's an insane thing to ask. Mm-hmm. But like, well, you're as ready as I can make you. And I'm like, that's just everything Stroud says just disgusts me.
Yeah, it's heinous.
Then Stroud starts to tell the story about Bennett, who was the top like scientist of the necromancy's order, the Undying's order and the regime. He would experiment on so many different people, and Stroud was so excited to like work for him. Yeah. Kind of glorifies her position when she was just literally a lab assistant. She didn't really do anything or have any place. She got coffee. She was an intern. And she just happened to not be in the lab when it blew up. And that's why she's the only one left.
Lucky girl.
Dude, for real. And she was like, Bennett was profound, etc. And, you know, he started to go a little bit by the end there. Like, he started to go a little bit crazy for some reason. Because she explains that, you know, she doesn't want to be undying yet because there are some limitations to what the undying...
Right.
They're what their longevity really is. Mm-hmm. They end up, for some reason, going a little bit crazy.
Kooky.
Who can say why?
Kooky.
But more things happen with an aphrodisiac now.
It's yeah, that was good. Bonkers.
Insane.
Is how that a manacled? I couldn't remember.
Yeah, that's a manacled.
Okay. There were quite a few things where I was like, was this?
I just really thought, I was so caught off guard reading it because I really thought we were avoiding all this from the red herring of, I've been sterilized, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I did I was too. So like,
how are we going to get to this other plot point?
Yeah.
That, interesting.
I was confused as well.
Hated it.
Yeah.
But it's such a good story, guys. It's awful.
I mean,
awful couple of chapters right there. So skip chapters 18 and 19.
Yeah.
If that's your big gripe with this, 18 and 19 are the ones that you should skip.
Yeah.
If the non-con thing is the no-no.
Yeah.
Then you're good. Perfect. So now we can get back to breaking down to what's going on in the world and everything. So Novus is to the east and Hevgos is to the west. Those are the two nations that surround Palladia. The country is currently weak and is surrounded by enemies that are looking to pounce to gain the resource that is alchemists and Lumithium. Because that's the main thing that Palladia has. Yeah. It's got alchemists. It's got this weird special power that few other nations possess in that quality and caliber. There's a double standard for sex for men and women that's kind of brushed apart in this topic.
Yes.
Where like men going and sleeping around. Oh, it's just a symbol of their virility and their strength as powerful alchemists. It's what they need to do. But if women are doing it,
No.
Can't have that. But the ascendancy happens, which is essentially when the moon is at its peak and alchemists are just at an all-time like high, essentially. Yeah.
And it makes them kind of drunk.
Moon drunk, they call it. Yeah. And she walks into Cain while she's just kind of wandering around at night. Mm-hmm. She can't feel it because of the nullium in her
The
arms and her manacles right there. Cain calls her by her name. The moonlight, it's kind of a very serene scene the way it's depicted in this chapter where it's just so quiet.
Maybe.
The light is bright at night, him looking at her. And he starts kissing her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's afraid of kissing him, but she like kind of kisses him back a little bit. And she's like, whoa.
Like, oh, and then she's like, I'm scared.
Whoa. And like, if you have no idea what's going on, you're probably like, what the fuck is happening
yes,
here?
Very that.
Then, you know, she's like, I'm killing myself now. Smashes her head against the glass. He takes away her feelings with resonance and, like, knocks her out, essentially. He's like, okay, well, shit.
Yeah.
Whoopsies. Uh-oh.
We're not too far away from what happened, the big thing.
Yeah. I love the way that it brings up Stockholm Syndrome in this world also. Every aspect of this world feels natural in it, where it's brought up naturally within its own world. Mm-hmm. Like the different names of the months. I think the week is made of 8 days, not seven.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
Because they meet bi-weekly later on on the same days each time, which means that like 4 days apart each time. So I was like, wait a minute, are there 8 days in a week here? I might be wrong about that, but like that would match with the eight different medals that they have. So that'd line up. But yeah, don't worry about that. So he cusses her out and goes, no one needs you and no one wants you. You'll do anything for the people who let you love them.
Ugh.
And then he's like, why would you go to all that levels for, you know, these people that never gave a shit about you? And she's like, Luke was my best friend.
Boop.
That's that.
Yeah.
And she's pregnant.
Yep.
Kane then disses Stroud a little bit, being like, you're a complete fraud. Get the fuck out of here. And then while she's pregnant, she starts going through the different feelings. And she kind of has another major seizure.
Yeah, big one.
And here we are in part two.
Yeah.
Flashbacks.
Which, mind you, this is only 200 pages in.
This is 200 pages in, yeah.
And 800 this is so more good. To go.
These flashbacks are done so well. It kind of drags on at a certain point. So I might skip over some major plot points. And if I do, ignore me. But it's done in so well to the point where, like, I actually forgot about part one reading it.
I do too. And that's the same thing that happened to me with Manifold. Yeah.
It spends so much time with the meat of the story, which is the flashbacks.
Yeah.
That you forget by the end of it, everyone's dead.
Yes.
They're all dead by the end of it. And so you end up caring. And you're like, by the end of it, you somehow think, she'll get out of this somehow. She'll go. You know, it's going to work out. And it just hurts even more, which is crazy for me since I already knew how it ends in more ways than one.
How long ahead is it? What's the flashback? How many years?
4 years.
That's what I thought.
Roughly.
Okay, so let's go to the flashbacks.
Yeah, but the flashbacks take course over 2 years. She's in the thing for about a year and a half or something, or 18 months.
Okay, yeah.
A year and a half, I guess.
That adds up.
And it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. So it starts with a little solstice party at the Bayard's house. Yep. You meet Sebastian Bayard, the uncle and paramour of Apollo Holdfast. You might have missed that the first time you read it, where Apollo and Sebastian were a little thing. Yeah,
I did miss that big time.
There's a throwaway line later on because Lila and Luke can't be together.
Yeah.
It's like, well, nobody cared when it was Sebastian and Luke's father.
Work. Yeah. I didn't.
That's
realize.
Why the rereads help, guys. Yeah. I'm good at this. I promise.
Yeah, you caught that. Good to know.
So it makes Sebastian's fate so much sadder later on when you realize that he kind of will probably views Luke as a son.
Oh, that sucks.
Like either as an uncle or a son in so many ways. Don't worry about that right now. This party spirits are kind of mediocre and everything. The war hasn't been going well. They've lost the ports.
Yeah.
Nothing's really working out. Luke is really doubting himself. He doesn't believe in his grandeur or anything like that. He's just like, you know, what if I'm not the right person for all this stuff? And Helena reassures him, everyone reassures him. But that first line with Luke is so much foreshadowing for when it's not Luke anymore.
Yeah.
And when that clear transition happens, and the characterization of Luke is done so well that I felt like a fucking idiot for not noticing what was wrong. Because the first time I read it, I'm reading it like every decision Luke makes following that one point, I'm like, what are you talking about? Why he's an awful person? Why is he choosing to do this? Just to find out, you know, he was being possessed and everything like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we get our first true story about Orion Holdfast, the ancestor who beat the first necromancer. A sword from the heavens, a stone from the heavens came down from Sol and helped him vanquish them all in a field of fire.
So cool.
Immediate story right there.
Yes.
But the children are already countering the flaws of that story. They're being like, well, then I hear it like this. There's usually another fire thing or something like that. They're like, kids are poking holes in the story, which is important for later as well.
Yep.
Helena has this sunstone amulet that's important that was given to her when she first became a healer by Ilva Holdfast, who is the great aunt, I believe.
Yeah.
And
kind of a bitch.
She's kind of awful, yeah. But, you know, there are worse things out there.
Yeah.
And now we start with the biggest theme throughout this story of addressing the cause, not just the symptoms.
Okay, so, that was smart.
Yeah, well, she constantly references that as a vivomancer and a healer, you have to treat the cause, not just the symptoms.
Yeah,
a lot of vivomancers like to address the symptoms, like you have a fever. Oh, let's bring down the fever. Let's not address what's causing the fever or anything like that. Later on, when she's healing people, you know, they'll be dying of blood loss. But instead of
finding out why,
they'll just be trying to replenish the blood instead of patching up where the blood is coming from or something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So over and over, I'll bring it up every single time that it happens because I meticulously noted it down.
Yeah.
She suggests to the council that they should start using necromancy.
Everyone's like,
which I guess that's the line you want to draw. It's like, hey, so our numbers are all dying. So what if we like buy volunteers when our soldiers die, we can bring them back to
use organ donors.
Yeah, literally just like organ, which they don't even do. They don't do organ donations. They don't even do surgery.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to like test things or anything like that because it's a violation of the body and the soul.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are actively sabotaging any chance at winning. You cannot win when you're like, hey guys, we can't even look inside a human body. When the other side is going, what if we start stitching people to animals?
When the other side is the fucking Night King from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, literally.
Like, be so for real.
It's not going to happen. So she pitches that and she gets kind of kicked out. And they're like, you are clearly hysterical and crazy because she just got out of a hospital ward too. Mm-hmm. And so she's covered in blood too. And they're like, all right, you're crazy woman. Get out. Hey. And then Soren Bayard, one of the top paladins and Luke's best friend. He's supposed to be Ron Weasley, essentially. Yeah. Just to clear that up for anybody who's maybe isn't going to read this. You know, I'll say it all right now. Luke is supposed to be Harry Potter.
Earlier, one episode prior, I'm not really gonna. Here we go.
Don't worry about it. All right, no, we're kidding.
No, and then Lila's like,
is Ginny. Yeah, that's the main things right there. And then Helena's reminding you guys. If you didn't figure all that stuff out yet, I don't know how to help you.
Yeah.
Soren's like roasting her, being like, you knew that that wasn't gonna go well. Yeah. Like, you had to have known no one was gonna take that. Mm-hmm. Falcon Matias, generational hater. And he's just like, blah, 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 blah. We hate you, Helena Moreno.
And God, you know what? We hate you, Falcon.
I hate him so much. Anyways, stand him. She's called into Ilva and Crowther's, private council. And they're like, hey, we're losing the war. Just the three of them there.
No shit.
And that's profound because no one can admit that because it's a foregone conclusion that good will triumph over evil. Because that's how it's always been. That's what all the stories say.
Yeah. But they're not, they're losing.
And everything they do is to protect Luke and Farron, Cain Farron, the heir to the guild, to the Iron Guild, who killed Apollo Holdfast and started this whole war, wants to spy in exchange for her.
Dun, dun, dun.
Interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
From the most recent attack, they had heard about a rumor about Lumithium cores being in the Undying. And so in the most recent attack, they found out if they take those out, they can shut down the Undying, essentially.
It's so cool. Take out the SIM card.
Uh-huh. Literally. Take out their batteries. Mm-hmm. And that information came from Kane. But, you know, they just made it seem like it was just a different type of rumor or something like that.
Yeah. So
they
can't ever say that we have a spy. Word on the street is.
Word on the street. Yeah. Did you see that new update?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's great. So she hears all this and then goes to consider if she's going to do the deal or not because she's given up her life for the war effort, essentially. Luke comes up and is like, hey, the battle out there went well. Do you want to go hang out? Because, like, we haven't spoken in a while, like, since the party. And, like, you left the party. And he's always checking in on Helena. Not always, but every time he sees her, he tries to make an effort to reach out to her and bring her back into the fold. And, you know, she's not supposed to interact with him because the grand visual of everything is that Luke would have a temptress from another nation in his ear that's a vivomancer that has now also spoken in favor of necromancy.
Yeah, it's drama.
Whispering drama. Into their prodigal son's ear.
Yeah.
So Soren is like, you can't do it. Like, don't hang out with Luke anymore. Ilva, Crowther, they're like, you cannot be seen with Luke anymore. You can be a childhood friend. That's okay.
But not.
You cannot be an active friend with him anymore. Yeah.
I'd be hanging out all the time.
That is ridiculous. Because on one hand, I get the visuals of it, but you cannot keep it a secret from Luke as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Everything is kept a secret from Luke, and that these secrets are their undoing in the end. 100%.
Yeah.
The lying, the not trusting, all of it. So she hits him with a next time. She's going to keep hitting him with next time. So Luke is quite literally a chosen one throughout all this. Mm-hmm. He has the gifts of both fire and gold alchemizing.
So cool.
Which is a rare thing on its own for either saint, but he has both of them. So he is literally supposed to be the leader that's going to bring Paladin into a new era. But it's not enough in this advancing world. Sciences have gone too far. They know too much about alchemy now. And the narrative that the Holy Order has established isn't holding up anymore.
Yeah. That's drama.
The Farron wealth from their steel enterprises rivals that of the Holdfasts. And yet the religious order kept putting things to like limit the guilds and oppress them and everything. Mm-hmm. So they've kind of created their own issue here.
Yeah.
Apollo Holdfast the entire time, instead of addressing the cause of the problem, dealt with the symptoms instead of like trying to do little things to like make them happier. Everything is happening because they won't deal with the root of the issues.
Whoa!
There are oppressions going on that they don't want to deal with. They just want to put little salves on and everything.
Yeah.
And so Apollo was at fault too. So yeah, Farron told them how to find the talismans, and Crowther and Ilva suspect Farron's plan is to take control from the ashes. Once both sides have destroyed each other, the Farron family is a powerful Palladian family that can come up and build everything back together. It's already built on Farron's steel. So now all he has to do is be the savior on top of it. So that's what they're thinking he's doing. So she goes to meet with him. He looks uncannily youthful. He's still 16 when he was turned into undying for killing Apollo Holdfast. And she swears to be his for as long as she lives, because that's the deal.
That's the deal.
But he can't interfere with her efforts with the order. That's it. Great quote here. Murderers are still men. That's an important thing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just a man. Mm-hmm. So the whole plan is essentially that she will woo him with her resonance, because he's not going to know that she's a vivomancer.
Yeah.
Because that's something that sprouts on later in life, and it's usually shunned, so nobody can ever talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll talk about it now so I don't forget later. Vivomancers are so hated because usually they kill their mothers in the womb.
Yeah.
Like when they're giving birth. They like sap the life away from them, is what the rumor is. The truth of it is that vivomancy doesn't show up till later in life, and since it's not taught and nobody knows about it, the mothers who are also vivomancers themselves don't realize they're putting their own vitality into growing their baby when they don't have to do that. If they're an aware vivomancer, they won't like be killing themselves giving birth to a baby that would also be a vivomancer.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing.
It's so cool.
Right there is that they create their own problems once again with their own oppressive culture.
Yeah. Damn.
So she goes and kisses him with some resonance because he's like, kiss me. I want to see what I'm buying right now. And I'm like, period.
That's what she does.
And slips a little bit of her resonance in there just to like do a little something with him. And then she's like fascinated with his body because he's undying. She's never seen or touched an undying before.
Right.
She's like, oh, this is interesting. Like kind of deepens the kiss a little bit. And I thought that was so funny that like her mind was just wandering. Like, are you like making out and just like your mind's thinking like, did I leave the oven on? That's like, kind of what that was giving me. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good.
Uh-huh. So, and this is what made me think that the months or the days of the week were all the different planets, because we have Saturnus and Martyr Day.
Yeah.
So I think they're all named after the different planets.
That makes perfect sense.
And I think there's 8 of them.
Big brain.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And then he gives her a special little iron ring that was handcrafted, and they're mirrored and tangled. I thought this was kind of bullshit personally, but whatever.
Okay.
That's the one that I'm going to call it out and be like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
The mirrored entanglement. So both rings were handcrafted and then had some type of alchemy performed on them so that whatever happens to one happens to the other.
Right.
That part was the only part of the alchemization of stuff that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Of resonance. Everything else I was checking out in my mind of how it worked. Mm-hmm. This was the only one that I was like, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. But, now that's done, but I'm with it still.
Okay. We got 30 minutes.
Yes, we do.
30 minutes.
Cain is also a vivomancer and he can read minds. Animancy is the key to reading minds, we find out. And she coats the ring that she gets in a reflective liquid. All that stuff checked and done. So Helena is henceforth removed from all meetings because of his mind reading,
mm-hmm.
because they don't want him to know anything about the order.
Yeah.
Once again, their interactions are all great, spectacular moments.
Oh my gosh.
Being awful.
I love, and it's just, even when they don't really like each other yet.
Dude, this is real enemies to lovers.
It's just the like, energy is so good.
Spectacular.
Yeah, the sexual tension from the beginning.
It's there. She's gets several healer replacements for her now that she's doing this, since her primary function isn't as a healer.
Yeah.
Elaine Boyle introduced, and Elaine has a flaw where she keeps trying to heal dead patients. Once Elaine takes over, people feel better, but the death count is higher.
Yeah. That's yikes.
Which is an interesting thing.
Yikes.
The first chimera appears out there when she's walking around collecting things, which is a very difficult thing in alchemy because it involves combining two separate animals or more. And they usually will just die because, you know, you can't do that. You can't just go, stick.
Yeah, cat, dog.
Fly. Which is essentially what they do. And they're like, oh, why do these things keep dying? Mm. It's like, well, you put its pain center next to the bottom of its foot. So I don't know what to tell you, like, you fucking idiot. She has a conversation with Ilva at one point, a little bit into the spying time, where they talk about her father operating without like a medical license.
Oh, right.
Her dad was a surgeon, ended up working in an apothecary.
Yeah.
And Helena has this moment where she's like, oh, we can't be in trouble for that because that would have lost me my, you know, alchemy license back in the day. And Nova goes, oh, you're not going to be deported for a 6-year offense. And it's that weird thing that that power over her is still there once the Eternal Flame takes control again. Everything will go back to a world that isn't quite right either.
It's still not good.
Where they, the have and have nots are kind of a thing here where you have to have your alchemy certification to heal people. Even though so many people are suffering in this city that can't afford to do this other stuff that could still be healed through other means. But all routes are being cornered to only using alchemy and the approved alchemy stuff.
Healthcare is really fucked everywhere, isn't it?
It's especially here. This is where things start to kick on up for them. Kane is hurt in a duel and he's missing an arm.
Oh, yeah.
And throughout this process, he's regenerating too much blood to properly heal.
It's like pouring out of him.
Mm-hmm, his, what do they call it?
The like core, the...
talisman.
Yes.
His talisman is just pumping out energy to regrow blood so it can't regrow anything else. Mm-hmm. Once again, symptoms, not cause.
Yeah.
Just saying... Senlin, you really like just was twisting this knife in me over and over again. And I was like, I see what you're doing here. So I can understand it, the idiot that I am. So problems, not cause, once again. So she knocks him out, stops the blood, like siphons off the blood flow so that it can regenerate the whole limb instead of just pouring out blood the entire time.
Crazy.
But he's now in charge of other stuff as a result of this duel. He ends up trying to start training her and other stuff, and he breaks her wrists as a result of it, which, but...
I also like, hey, leave her alone.
Dude.
He's so, like, you gotta learn how to fight. Come on. Bubble.
Insane. So...
Like, I'm an alchemist. You can't ruin my hands.
Don't ruin my hands. That's the whole point. Yeah. They need their hands to do stuff.
Yes. Obviously. Leave her be.
Mm-hmm. And so she has to go back with broken wrists and is like, I fell.
You broke both wrists when you fell. Be so for real.
And Crowther is like, girl, you need to be better at lying. But here, meet my super cool spy, Ivy. And Ivy heals her and does a really good job. And as much as we hate Ivy, I understand Ivy. Ivy. I do. She starts working with this foreigner called Shiseo from the Eastern Empire. And, you know, she offers him her stolen station that she's been using, that she was never offered, but she's, like, been using it, like, in one of the offices that no one ever talked about.
Mm.
And this is the start of their bond together, that Shiseo is always once also underestimated. They're both foreigners in a strange land that are constantly looked down upon. Shiseo is so intelligent, so capable. And there's a line when she mentions something to Ilva, like, oh, can he do, like, my metal test or something like that for me finding out what my resonance cores are? And Ilva goes, Shiseo? I mean, sure. And then I remember that she's like an old white lady. I'm like, all right, that makes
tracks.
Sense. Yeah.
With
okay.
Tracks. Yep.
That's about as best as a response we can hope from.
Yeah. Okay, grandma.
Rich, wealthy, elite, old white people.
For real.
Yeah. So they're planning for something new when the High Necromancer is reported to be leaving. That's what Kane passes on. So they do a whole sneak attack en masse to get the ports back and everything else. And it works.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital goes through it. Like, in the POV of the hospital, everyone's dying. It's bad. But from the military, it's a complete victory. And that's just, once again, the parallels of stuff. You're winning, but you're losing stuff. And you can't sustain that because you're not addressing the problem that you don't have enough people.
Is this around the time when, and this is, I remember, one of my favorite parts of Manacled 2, when... Lila says, when they're talking, her and Helena are talking, and she's like...
I think it's worse in the hospital room.
She's like,
it's a little bit later, but yeah, it's the same point. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
All of this, where you never get to see a victory. All you see is the death. All you see is the trauma. I'm like, ugh, that sucks.
Every day is a losing battle, There's another line later on where it's their victories are measured in how many people they kill, or maybe it's Kane or something like that, but hers are measured in how many... don't die. So it's complete opposites
totally
of what the goals are.
Yeah.
But Kane is tortured for this because he was the commander in charge. And Helena's like, wait, you were the commander in charge? And he's like, yeah.
He's like, girl, I work for them.
Why do you think I knew everything? I was the guy running it when everything went to shit. Why do you think I knew where everything was going to be? Mm-hmm. So he has this array carved into his back. And she's like, I need to try to fix this right now because this talisman is pumping out energy just to keep him alive. And he's barely alive. Mm-hmm. So she does. And this is something I missed out first time. He can't sleep he can't be knocked out because his talisman would wake him up. Mm-hmm. So she puts him to sleep, essentially, instead of that, to start working on his back, which I think is a very cool consistency thing.
Yeah.
For what the talismans do.
Very cool.
So kudos. Kudos for not having something that I can go,
Yeah.
Great. And she does something about showing how she wants to show how useful she can be by fixing this. Mm-hmm. Once again, her own worth is always determined by what she can do for others. Mm. And her character flaw here is not understanding her own intrinsic value.
Yeah.
A lot of her problems are also caused by her own unwillingness to stand up for herself about stuff, for undervaluing herself. And you can say that it's because the whole world has always been against her. Do you have something to say? I realize I keep fucking yapping.
No, go ahead. I'll finish your thought. Because you're going to say what I'm going to say.
You know, the whole world is pushing her down so she never feels like she has anything to contribute. But at a certain point, you need to be the one that rises above that. Mm-hmm. You can't blame the world for what happens. Because other characters are doing that, and that's when they turn to necromancy and stuff like that.
I agree. I also think she has been, like, as we've talked about, kind of objectified her whole life. And her whole thing, she is a tool. Mm-hmm. She is, and she sees herself as a tool. Her only value is fixing others, is being the thing that can fix, is being the healer. It's not in her just being a person. She doesn't see that she's worth it on her own. She only sees it for what she can do. Mm-hmm. Period.
This is so good, guys.
It's
Please.
So good.
Oh my gosh. Tell everyone to read this.
It's so good.
But while she's healing him, she accidentally drops her amulet and it breaks open.
This was wild.
Quicksilver inside this amulet that turns solid. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, have you ever seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Nope.
Damn.
All right.
There's a thing called gravitonium that does the same thing where it turns liquid and then like returns the solid and stuff like that. So it's kind of, it's a lol squid.
Yeah. Lol squid.
And she kind of puts that inside of him because throughout her healing journey, this thing called the toll is supposed to happen when you use your vitality, but it never really affected her. And she always felt better when she had the amulet with her. It always like healed her. So she figured, okay, this is something special. I can put it in him and heal him. And it's absorbed into his skin. And everything seems to cool off a little bit for a brief second.
That's so cool.
Interesting.
I thought that part was really cool.
What are you going to do when your doctor says, hey, so there was this funny looking rock and I just put it inside you. Do you feel better?
I know, right?
And that's about that for it. So we get a full explanation about how the Undying are created, where Morrow uses his bone, which he calls a phylactery, places it inside of the Undying during the ceremony, and then takes it out, gives you back a piece, and then puts it back inside.
Yep.
Which means he's essentially done that. I think there are 200 and something bones in the human body. He's done it 200 and something times.
It's so gross.
At most, you know.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Gross. I'm assuming one bone per person.
That's what I think so too.
Oh.
Nasty.
Bad.
Mm-hmm.
So as she keeps on treating him, his hair starts turning silver, and he's gifted a chimera. You know, he was told, like, hey, if you survive what we carve into your back, then, like, you know, your punishment will be over. And he's given a chimera. Mm-hmm. Cool. If a monster can't be made loyal, what do you do then, is a quote.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Then we get our first Don't Die, Morano.
Oh!
Chapter 34. Great time. Mm-hmm. They find a scout that was experimented on to lose her resonance, and you know, while she's on the operating table dying, Luke comes in and her presence calms because she's freaking out about stuff. And his presence seems to always calm people and people's hearts seem to be uplifted when he's there because he's an animancer.
Yep.
And he's always been using it on people and he lies about it.
Yep.
Crazy. Or maybe he didn't know. It's possible. But she's ordered by Matthias to do an autopsy about the stuff, which is a big taboo thing. She's like, all right, you're telling me to do this. And he's like, yes, you have to. Then he uses it against her later.
Typical.
We get the whole story of her background with her dad and the Necrothals at the field hospitals and everything. When they were wheeled in, they were all screaming, get him out, get him out, get him out. Yeah. because they didn't know about the undying yet. And they all had talismans inside of them, and they started turning dead people around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how her father dies, because there were his colleagues that were dead trying to kill him.
It's so horrifying.
Yeah.
God.
But it was an attempt to put liches inside human bodies. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work because the human soul rejects it.
Yep. Iconic.
Damn. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Let me skip through a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, they keep meeting for a bit. They kind of are growing on each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cute or whatever.
Yes, yes. So Luke finds out about her necromancy stuff, that she wanted to use it.
Ooh.
And he's not mad at her, though. He's mad at himself for leaving her alone to the point where she got to that point. Once again, he's not blaming her.
Yeah.
And so he invites her out. It's like, I'm not going to leave you alone anymore. We're going to go out right now. And she says, next time. Luke doesn't abandon her. She pushes him away.
Yeah.
That's a key thing right there, that Luke is a cool guy. Mm-hmm. He really is. He really is a kind soul. But Cain is healed and loose. And after the very end, it's like, it's the obeyance or something like that. So like,
oh, yeah.
His powers. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling good. Why so eager to be off? Because she's like, I guess I should go. Just one drink. And he's fully alchemized. That's the title.
Mm-hmm.
And that was... So he's like, I forgot how much I like leaning on things. Should I leave you on the couch alone? And it's just so much banter going on
it's so good.
Do I feel cold? Ugh, so many things. And then they kiss. Bruising pleasure, quote unquote. And she hates that she's so eager to be wanted. And she starts crying.
Oh, I know.
And so she's just like, you don't want me. You're just finally in agony.
Yeah.
You're finally not in agony, I mean. Mm-hmm. And that was where I was planning on ending part one, guys.
Minutes left. That's crazy.
Oh my Alexandra god. Rose. I know.
So funny.
It's because I have so much to say about. Maybe we did need three parts.
I know.
Hey, Solomon, do you have anyone coming in after this?
I gotta go to work.
Nah, you're fine. You started at 8, right?
Yeah, I don't want my.
Fine. Close. Okay. All right.
That's so funny.
So, Elaine Boyle heals the symptoms, not the sources, etc. Lots of things are happening. Fuck, I really thought two parts would be enough. Okay, let's talk to the next biggest thing where Luke gets captured.
Yeah.
Luke gets captured and they do a separate little mission to find him. Helena thinks that it's, we might need a third part. I think there's only one way that we do this. If we do a third part with it,
okay.
We come back. Would you be okay with
that? Yeah.
I told you.
Yeah. It's okay.
I really guys, thought we could do it in two parts.
Three parts. It's okay. So let's just finish this where you think this needs to finish.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then you guys prepare to be sick of us. It's okay.
I really thought we could do it in two parts.
No, I should have known. You're a yapper, especially with this.
Fuck, man. Oh, jeez.
Mind you, I've said how many words these two episodes?
Have you not talked a lot this time?
I'm just kidding. I've been so locked in. I'm saying this.
I thought it was 1,000 pages, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. You're doing great. Just keep going, and then we'll do a third. Keep going.
I'm so broken inside
don't
right
be broken.
Now, guys.
No, don't be broken. It's great.
It's okay. It's
the
all
people
right.
love it.
It's
keep all going.
Right.
Everyone, say something nice, Alexandra.
There's a lot of. There's just so much that happens that I need to talk about for other stuff. You know.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. So. Luke gets captured at one point. He gives himself up for Lila. And that's a big thing because you can't do that. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? You are the whole point of this, you know, revolution. If you go, there's no point to any of it. You're the whole claim to legitimacy.
Yeah.
And he gets captured and they try to go find him. So Soren Bayard, Lila is out of commission right now. She can't help out with anything. She's seriously injured. Soren, her twin brother, is missing
an eye
at this
point.
I like
that they were twins.
Yeah, I like that they were twins too.
Because I think, it just added so much to it. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it because I think that the twin loss in the original situation is so like, you know what I mean? And so I liked it and I liked that it was brought in some way in this,
mm-hmm.
you know, not to say it without saying it.
Yeah. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So they find out from this girl named Sophia who Helena recognizes around as probably being Ivy's sister. She connects some dots that we didn't mention anymore because it doesn't matter, I guess. I'm so broken inside right now. You're I was like, great. Oh my gosh, okay. I really fucking yapped. Damn.
It's okay.
Damn, guys.
Alexandros, it's fine.
Men don't need to shut up.
It's okay.
She's like, this is Crowther's plan.
Yeah.
Crowther's plan through and through. This is what he wants to be done right now. Mm-hmm. So she goes along with it. Then Sauron reveals the only reason he's bringing Helena along is so that she can use necromancy to bring him back when the mm-hmm. time comes. So they go through some tunnels and sewers and everything like that. Disgusting, but nasty. It's not the summer season, so it's fine. We get to see the repelling things in action, their harnesses.
Yes.
And I was like, that's cool. That's it's fucking cool. So I wanted cool. to see that more. They find this secret prison where they're holding Luke because for some reason, all the orders have always been to take him alive.
Yeah.
They break it down. They find Atreus Farron in a body of a lich who is Farron's dad, who is supposed mm-hmm. to be dead. Kane's dad.
Yeah.
Supposed to be dead. Not. They take him down and some cool matters. They break open the door and they see Luke on an operating table with his organs all blackened and shriveled and stuff like that. They're cutting him open. They kill everyone there, stitch him back together. She heals him. She can't find anything wrong. There's no talisman in him or anything like that. No Lumithium. Mm-mm. And so they're like, all right, heal him up and let's go. We can worry about the organ damage and everything later. His brain has a really bad fever right now, though.
Yeah.
They break out. Sauron ends up going down. She heals him. It's such an impactful emotional moment right here.
Oh.
And she brings him back to life. She uses necromancy. Luke, for a brief moment, thinks that Sauron's getting up when they're fighting the hordes of Necrothals that are attacking
this part.
And then his face falls when he realizes what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
But everything goes to shit. This guy named Blackthorn, Vasilius Blackthorn, baller name, by the way.
No, the names in this are all killer.
There's no name that like takes me out of it.
Yeah,
this,
they're all killer.
I kind of enjoyed it all. And
what
he no sorry oh, I was okay. just like oh, cause I'm feeling things. I'm feeling things. No, I'm not stressed out okay. at all. I'm kind of just more like, damn it.
Okay.
Don't worry, I'm good, guys. And so Blackthorn's kind of a crazy undying, and he's like, he does some nasty stuff, reaches inside her ribs and stuff at one point, and it's like some weird tension going on with him and the hole in her ribs. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like the way this was written. Did you catch on to what he was doing there?
No.
He wanted to do some things to the holes he was making. He's a nasty guy. We didn't like any of that. But he dies right after this, so it's fine.
I'm scared.
Sauron's a necrothrall, ripping things apart, not stopping, getting died. And then Cain Farron shows up, kills everyone. Knocks out everyone, kills other people. It's a whole thing. There's a really cool scene.
That's what I was going to say. Is this in Manacled with the...
Yeah.
Oh.
And everything, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was cooler here because he does this thing where... No, he doesn't do this. This is during the Blackthorn Sauron fight that I really like. Because this is, I don't want to say this is from Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, but it kind of is because there's another character with an eye patch.
Okay.
Because Sauron's missing an eye.
Yeah.
And the other character, like, and Blackthorn is kind of always keeping to the right so that he's always in his blind spot a little bit.
Yeah.
There's another scene where that happens in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. It's That's a cool, cool way to fight. So that happens. Kane's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. The whole thing heals her, takes her back. She finds Sebastian Bayard, wakes him up first because he's the most practical. And then Sebastian's like, you used necromancy, didn't you? He's like, she's
fucked
like, yeah.
her immediately.
Like, he got up and kept fighting. You healed him. You and I dragged the other unconscious paladins back down here. Sebastian is so with it and practical about everything. I really like his character.
Me too.
And I'm going to miss him so much later on. The whole thing.
R.I.P.
Damn, we've really been talking for 50 minutes.
No, we've been talking for an hour and 50 minutes.
This is just flying. I haven't talked with anyone about this. I think that's why I've been so
fucking happy. You have a lot inside of you. So pick where you want to end, and then we'll come back.
Guys, I'm so sorry.
Don't be sorry. The people love it.
Oh my gosh.
I speak for the people. The people love
so
it.
I'm so pissed at myself for not pacing this out better. I just wrote down too much shit.
I mean,
I was so excited to talk about
no,
this.
No, I think that it's a win because it shows how much you love it, and that's magical.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
You would have missed a lot if you had paced it out.
Like, exactly.
Thank you. Yeah. Should have just been yapping about our favorite parts. That would have been better for a one episode.
It's okay. And you know
what?
We got kind of low key to take you guys behind the curtain. We got a lot of shit for not covering enough in our Manacled episode. So this is an overcorrection. It's okay. If you guys wanted more, and we're giving you more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a testament to how much this means to you, and I think that's beautiful.
Yes, yes, yes. So
tell him that it's okay.
Oh, we skipped so much. Yeah, okay. Sorry, there was so much important stuff that I wanted to talk about. Yeah.
Like what?
So, well, there's several of the solstice celebrations, and we skipped the whole they're going to kill Cain thing.
Oh, well, they were going to kill Cain.
Yeah. Don't worry about that. We'll talk about it in the next episode.
Yeah.
And so with this, they finally make it back. Luke is freaking out in the hospital ward when they're treating him. Elaine's trying to treat him. Everyone is. And he keeps like screaming. His fingers are all bent in the wrong shape. And she goes up to touch him and he reaches for her. Mm-hmm. He goes, Helena. And there's such like pain in his face and like peace, like when he sees her. Mm-hmm. That this second read hurts. This is what I'll talk about for the last 5 minutes then.
Okay.
Just how much pain he was in, but he knew that Helena could be the one to solve it.
Yeah.
Luke knew.
Luke, yeah.
When we find out later that the whole thing is that he is possessed by Morrow at this point with a phylactery inside of him. Mm-hmm. And that's why when she goes flying back, and there's a brief moment where it's not Luke anymore, and he goes, like, you use necromancy on Sorin. And as the reader, for the first time, you believe it. You believe this is his line that he can't cross.
Yeah, that's what believes. I thought.
And I'm sitting here thinking, fuck, he did that. Like, I don't think he meant to throw her or anything, but that's that. And then you realize, no, Morrow was able to seize control in that moment and throw her back so that she wouldn't find him.
Right. Well, I was confused reading this part because I was like, I just thought maybe he was in some sort of fit from the trauma and like a dream state.
Yeah.
But I was like, what? And so, it's amazing, so, like in hindsight.
To find out that he had his organs harvested and everything like that and swapped out.
Mm-hmm. Nasty.
Insane. That's why the heart was stolen from Apollo and everything.
Yeah.
Because Morrow's not making it. His body has reached its peak that it can manage. That from this point on, it's not Luke talking anymore.
It's Morrow.
It put everything else into perspective about stuff. It made everything hurt so much more.
Yeah.
Every time he says anything, anytime they say something about Luke, that they're not letting Helena see him because they all don't trust her, despite the fact that she could have fixed this all if she had just gotten
really
5 minutes
with him. Forehead.
I've been scratching my head. I'm going, oh. Am I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess I scratched it.
I got scared.
It's Morrow. He's inside me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Get him out. So that's that. With what goes on there, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'll save the romance part for the next episode. If we're doing another episode, then we've so ran out of time.
Yeah, it's okay.
God, I fucking yap, don't I?
It's okay.
It's okay, Maddie. Make fun of me. It's okay.
Well, you do yap. No, but like that's why we're sat on this couch because we both yap.
That's it.
I make fun of you enough. I don't want to kick you while you're down.
No, kick me while I'm down right now. I deserve it. Right now.
A ding dong, you yapped. I don't know.
Fuck, you got me.
Anyways,
what are your main thoughts right now? Because I know I've been talking too much for this episode.
No, not too much. I'm glad that you talk as much as you do because it's just bonkers to me this whole thing. Sometimes like I think that the point that I made earlier, the fact that this is such a level up, is amazing. Mm-hmm. I actually know what I want to say.
Good.
Something that I think is so amazing. The thing about fan fiction, and I know we've talked about this previously, is that you go into it already loving the characters. So the authors, the writers of the fan fiction, they don't have to do as much heavy lifting in terms of character building and making us fall in love and care for these characters, or on the opposite end, making us hate the characters. And so what's so interesting when something like this is reworked is that somehow they have to make it happen without us having that previous love, even though we kind of still do because we do know who they are supposed to kind of be. I think it is so impressive when it's done effectively. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a true level up of Manacled, because Manacled is so incredible. And this is even more incredible. And I think hearing you talk about it with such passion and excitement makes me love this more.
For 2 hours straight.
You said it, Nami. Makes me love it even more, like truly, because it's not that I didn't like it. I did. I very much liked it. I thought it was great. But you bring up so many points and so many details that I think are only possible on a second read. And I don't know if I have another 1,000 pages in me to be
real. I've got at least 1,000 pages in
me. At least right now. This might, I'll make that journey eventually. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's amazing. This truly is a level up of Manacled. And I hope that a lot of people read this. And I think that this should kind of be seen, not to be dramatic, but this is an incredibly impressive work.
It is.
TBH.
No, it is.
Like, and I don't want to say like, I don't know. It's kind of giving modern classic low-key. Like, I just think it's unlike anything I've ever read because of how incredibly well thought out it is. So many of the things that we're reading, I love them. They're so similar. Mm-hmm. All of these worlds and all of these things. The fact that this person, Sun Linyu, was able to take something from an existing IP and then completely rework it into something that is even cooler, as you said, is, I think, a feat and almost more impressive than just writing a book. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's writing two books, essentially.
It is. They wrote two books. It's wild. 1,000-page books. And I just think it's amazing. I really do. And I hope that a lot of people give this a shot who even aren't Manacled fans, because I think it's worth it.
Absolutely it is. There is not a single part of this book that, like, well, there's, like, the part from the rings that I mentioned earlier. There's not anything that, like, takes me out of it that makes me question, because everything works so cohesively in the world with how it's established. All the names line up. All the world's building and everything like that matches the same vibe. The aesthetic is continuous throughout the entire time. There's nothing that throws me out of the world and makes me go, well, wait a minute now. Hold on. Like, what's going on? That's the point where I'm like, really, that's what we're doing with this? Because the world building is so in depth and does so well. Well, with how many pages? Yeah, but there's still more that I could see from it. Like, no. I'm like, I could honestly do this again.
I could see this being a like multi 100 page book series. You know, it's just so cool. And anything that makes you want to be in it longer, I think, is amazing. Mm-hmm.
The feelings that I had while knowing everything that happens.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I agree. I agree with you. And don't feel bad about talking for 2 hours straight and then needing
more time.
Guys,
you can bully me in the comments. It's okay.
Because it's fun. And I think...
Just put in parentheses, because it's fun.
Because it's fun. I just think, not to get philosophical.
No.
But I'm going to get philosophical. Go ahead. I kind of spoke about this in my solo episode that you haven't listened to yet. Yet I listened to you talk for 2 hours straight today. Just saying. But... I kind of said like the world's kind of heavy right now and shit kind of sucks. And anything
not as bad as it does for Helen.
Not as bad as hello, but I just think anything that we can do to make ourselves find any bits of joy that we can in our everyday is so worth it. And if you can find anything that makes you feel as passionate about something as you do about this, I think it's an important thing to talk about, and I think it's an important thing to share. And I'm sure that all of these people listening are appreciating the excitement and the passion and how much you have to say about it, because it is fun. Like, we need fun right now.
You guys like it when I'm happy? What are you talking about?
Yeah. And you better watch it, because you're a white man, so hold tight with being too happy around these parts right now.
I'll be gloomy and depressed again.
Thank you.
I'll just be silent here going, I'm so tired. Maddie, what happened to this book?
Yeah, that's me.
That's what we'll do with the next one, all right? Whatever we read next, we haven't decided yet. I'll just be sitting back going like, Maddie,
give the woman the mic for once. Just kidding. In this book about female suffering. Yeah,
the source of
Who hasn't stopped talking? This book is about a woman suffering. Who hasn't shut up the whole time? There you go. I finally got it. I finally got some.
That's part of the themes that we're doing, guys. We're so committed to the accuracy of portraying the vibe of this book. That's what we're doing.
You are the cause.
I'm the problem. I'm addressing the symptoms by yapping, not the cause.
Alrighty. Well, we'll see you guys next week with our part three that we didn't know was going to happen.
Exciting times. I could also do it solo if you don't want to sit down listening to me.
I want to talk about the end.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me?
Period.
Yes.
I'll be better next time and we'll move through.
No, you're doing great.
Tee-hee.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in. Tune in for part three. Like and subscribe, comment, all that stuff. Hey, 3 weeks in a row of episodes. That's how I see it.
Period. And that's
a win is a win.
I'm going out of town. So actually, that's perfect.
Spectacular.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye, you guys. Bye-bye. See you next time.